somebody else. Well, it is 7 o'clock, and I am going to go ahead and start because I have a lot to cover tonight. And I want to have time for questions afterwards.
Right.
Tonight we're going to be talking about the garage and how to clear a garage. Now, this is a little weird for me to do because I don't have a garage. And actually, I've never had one that was just mine. So what I'm conveying to you is what I've learned from helping other people clear out their garages. I have pictures in my head left over from helping people clear out garages. So I think I know what I'm doing just because I've actually done it with my clients. Now, the garage is one of the most avoided clutter clearing projects in the home. Ranks right up there with the basement and the attic as being one of the places really, really avoided in terms of clutter clearing. And I wanted to share with you some of the reasons why I think it's avoided so that you can understand and perhaps be gentle with yourself about your avoidance if that's a problem for you. And if it's not a problem for you, you're unusual because most people avoid clearing the garage. It's just, it's too big. The garage is a big space, and it holds an enormous quantity of items of all sizes, from nuts and bolts to canoes and kayaks. So it holds a lot. And garages can have many, many functions. Car storage and upkeep, workshop, kitchen annex, the yard and garden center, home maintenance centers, recreational storage, vacation storage, on and on. It holds many different functions. There are also numerous categories of items stored in the garage to accommodate each function. For example, car wash supplies and equipment are associated with car storage and the car storage and upkeep function. Yard supplies, tools, and equipment are associated with the yard garden function. Tools and supplies are associated with the workshop and home maintenance functions. So there is such complexity to what needs to be done to make a garage organized once you get it cleared. Also, what I found is maintaining order in the garage is not a high priority. Most people will, if they're maintaining anything, they'll maintain their living space first, the places where they spend the most time. And garages are pass-through places. They're not places where people tend to hang out. Unless you're into building things out of wood and you're in your workshop all the time in a garage, you don't spend a lot of time there. And so not maintaining a garage can result in disorder of inordinate proportions. Also, a garage is a very dusty, dirty space, and dust and dirt and grime will lower the energy in the space in a heartbeat. And the dirtier a space is, the more likely you are to avoid it. And garages are dirty. Even when you have the best of intentions of maintaining a clean garage, whoever keeps up with all the things that fly in when the garage door opens. It's also a space that is a haven of negative energy because of the dust, dirt, and toxic items like fertilizer, pesticides, paints, broken tools and equipment, and many items that are seldom used. So now you understand why it's one of the top three most overwhelming large storage areas that is avoided when you're clearing clutter. So what I've done with this spa plan, when you get it, you'll see that it's not a straight 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 25 or whatever. I have broken it down into a couple of sections. And the first section is how to set the stage for success. Part of this, when I started working on this, I was overwhelmed by the complexity. In fact, I procrastinating writing this spa plan because I felt overwhelmed just thinking about, okay, how do I convey this in a verbal fashion and a written fashion? And what I found is that first you want to set the stage for success, and then you need to know where not to start, and then where to start, and then guidelines for systematic review. And finally, guidelines for creating homes for each function. Those are the major sections that I identified. So this is going to be a little different, but it's because of the complexity of the project. So setting the stage for success. There are a lot of things people do when they have great intentions to clear an area that doesn't serve them well. Those things don't serve them well. And I thought I'd bring those to your attention. The way you can set yourself up for failure is to not do the things I'm recommending. First of all, you want to choose a day when the weather is moderate. Not too hot, not too cold, and preferably not rainy. And, of course, you wouldn't do it if it was snowy. But you want good weather. You really want to reclaim your garage when the sun is shining, if at all possible, because sun is energy, and that energy will give you an extra energy boost. When you see blue skies and sun, that will lift your spirits and help you to be more energized. Now, moderate means temperatures that are comfortable to you, not too hot in the dead summer where you're going to sweat buckets, and not when it's just too cold to be comfortable. Now, actually, spring and fall are kind of nice times to do a garage because the weather is moderate, and you can put a sweater on if you need it if it's a little cool. Fall, you can put a sweater on, again, if it's too cool, or wear a t-shirt if it's warm. So those are great seasons of the year to do it. Also, another way to set yourself up for success is to set a reasonable goal for the work that you're going to do. What I find is some people set out to clear the whole garage in a day, and their garage is a nightmare. And it's really not possible even for the most organized of people. And what I recommend is if you have one of those garages that is not just sort of messy, but a nightmare, that you not set yourself up for failure by intending to do the whole thing in a day. Rather, if you've got one of those garages, one that's completely packed, I recommend that you choose a specific time goal, like working for 2 hours, or a specific task goal, like, okay, today Debbie recommends at the very beginning that I remove anything that could be trashed and hauled to the dump, anything that's really obvious and easy to see. So today I'm going to remove anything that obviously can go to the dump. You'll accomplish a specific goal and feel good about what you did, and that will set the stage for future successes. And believe me, anything that you get out of the garage that goes away will shift the energies in the space from negative to positive. If you choose to clear the garage in multiple sessions, be sure to schedule those subsequent sessions. Cool. Excuse me, I have a dog that is interrupting me. It would not be a good idea to do just a partial project and leave it and think, well, I'll get to it next weekend, but not really commit to doing it, not set a schedule for, okay, every other weekend I'm going to work on the garage, or every weekend for 2 hours I'm going to work on the garage. Best to have some type of schedule if you're doing it bit by bit. Another suggestion is get help from other family members, friends, or a professional organizer if the job is too overwhelming. If you have set your intention to get it done and you keep procrastinating. And also, you would probably need some help if you've got items that you need assistance with to lift and move. Some of the items stored in a garage can be really heavy and awkward, or if you have to place them over your head in storage areas, you might need some extra help. So getting help is a great way to make the project, first of all, more fun. It becomes a social event. And the camaraderie of working with others is going to help distract you from the enormity of the task. Another suggestion is plan a reward following your work in the garage. Plan a lunch out with a friend or by yourself, or an adventure with the family, or schedule your clearing before a ball game so that once you get it done, your reward is to park yourself on the sofa and watch the game, or treat yourself to a nap or an ice cream cone. Choose something that can be the carrot at the end of the stick, something to look forward to when you reach your clutter clearing goal for the day. Or if you do the whole thing in a day. Some people have garages that aren't that badly disorganized. They just need a overall clearing and the order is in pretty good shape. In that case, if you get it done in a day, really, go out there and celebrate. Now, where you should not start, don't start with small things. It's the same thing I say when we're talking about paper. Don't start with paper. Don't start with small things. Those things will shut you down. Same thing holds in the garage. If you start with small items like nuts and screws and small tools and the like, you'll make little progress quickly and your brain will shut down, especially when you have lots of big things around you looming and talking to you, telling you that there's a lot to do. You must see significant results immediately to build enough momentum to keep working at what can be an overwhelming and exhausting task. Also, do not start by trying to decide where things go. Trying to decide the locations of the different types of items in the space will shut you down, too, because usually when you first begin clearing a garage, there are too many objects talking to you. And what I mean by that is everything is alive with energy, and the energy talks to you. And if you have a lot of items in a space, there are a lot of conversations going on, and those conversations can be very distracting. So all those distractions are going to keep you from being able to figure out where things go. Your brain is likely to freeze if you try to do something like that. It is really best to create significant space by clearing and then decide the locations of various categories of items. Okay, so now where do you begin? As with any organizing project, you begin with what's easiest and what's going to create the biggest energy shift. Before you move anything or do anything, I recommend that you take a picture. Having a before picture will allow you to see your progress as you move through the project. And it will give you cause for great celebration when you're finished, and you can compare your nicely organized and nicely feng shui garage to that photo. Second, remove your car if you're able to fit your car in the garage. A lot of people don't use their garages to hold their cars. They just don't have enough space. But if you do, move the cars out, of course, and then remove any large objects that you intend to keep in the space and you intend to continue to store there. You might think, why am I moving those out? Because when you move large items out of the garage, at least temporarily, you'll experience the benefit of a major energy shift. You'll also create space that will make it easier to think clearly so you can make good decisions about your plan of action. When I say remove large things that you will probably put back in there, I'm talking about lawn tractors, lawn mowers, bicycles, coolers. Those are large objects. You might just create an area where those things that will go back in can rest while you work with the rest of the garage. Also, remove obvious trash and create a trash/dump area outside the garage door. Things that will either go in your trash cans or be hauled off to the dump. The bigger, the better with those trash items. Broken furniture that isn't worth repairing, large cardboard boxes, broken tools, ancient coolers, dry rotted air mattresses, ancient paint cans, those are all types of items that when removed will free up significant space. And finally, another important thing to do before you really start with any kind of systematic review of things in your space is to remove large items that you know you will no longer use. At that point, you create a donation area outside the garage door that is separate from the trash dump area and put anything there that you can take to Goodwill or to a charity. Old beach umbrellas, beach chairs, air mattresses, bicycles, sporting equipment, furniture, and old tools that are never used are the types of items that fall into this category. Once you've removed enough things to begin to see progress and feel the benefit of the energy shifts, it will be easier to begin to systematically review everything in the garage to determine if each item is still something that you're likely to use in the future. Now we're ready to talk about guidelines for systematic review. First of all, I recommend that you start wherever it's easiest to start. There isn't a right or wrong about where to start. It's what's easy. What are you less attached to? What do you not care about? What can't you stand being in your face anymore? Pick something, some area, something that's easy. And, you know, you don't have to work in a straight line. You can jump around the garage as long as you're making progress, as long as you're not making a bigger mess and you're getting things out of there. It doesn't matter if you hop around, as long as things go out. Also, focused on the biggest items first. Look for big stuff to remove. Again, you're wanting a great big energy shift, so focus on those big items. Now, as you're systematically reviewing the space, and when I say systematically, you're just going to go through everything, starting with the biggest, working your way to the smallest. You want to move items to be donated or thrown away out of the garage to the designated location. Don't leave them where they are. It's amazing when you move things, you shift energies. When things start leaving that garage, it's going to fuel your energy and your motivation, and you'll be able to make better decisions. So move those things to be donated or thrown away as quickly as possible. As you work, begin clumping items by function. It might be that, you know, in one part of the garage, you've got a lot of yard stuff. And then you're in another part of the garage and you realize, oh, this is yard stuff, and I'm still keeping it. So you move it over to where the rest of the yard stuff is. Clumping is when you group items that fit into one of the major functions of your garage. Now, one of the things that will happen as you're grouping like items together is you will figure out what the functions of your garage are. I've listed a few earlier when I mentioned car, yard, recreation equipment, that kind of thing. But everybody's garage is going to be a little different, and you won't get clear about all the functions that are included in there until you start this clumping process, grouping like items of like function together. Some of those I mentioned are yard equipment and supplies, sporting goods, home maintenance and repair, tools, hardware, pet equipment and supplies, cleaning supplies. Again, don't worry about where the permanent homes will be for the clumps. Just sort of temporarily designate an area where you're going to be locating, as you're sorting those things that are staying, locating them with other items of like function. Okay, now as you're looking at any item, the question to ask yourself is, do I or do we use this item? It's a use it question. Do I use it? Am I likely to use it in the future? Is it still in good condition? A lot of things that end up in the garage start rusting, getting mildew, or rotting because they've been there so long and have been damp. Are they in good condition? And are they worthy of being kept in the prime real estate of your garage? You know, a garage, we treat it like a dump. And I say we because, you know, I've been in them, not because I have one. I do that with my shed sometimes. It's my mini garage. But it's a dumping place. A lot of times you don't know what to do with something, you throw it in the garage. It's a place where things just land. But really, from a feng shui perspective, a garage is a part of your home, and it holds an energy that affects the overall energy of your home. So as such, it is prime real estate, meaning what happens in that space and the energy of that space is going to affect your life. So it's, when you think about the things you're keeping, you only want to keep things that you either love or use, and most garage items are use-it items. And there are probably a few love-it items. You love your bike. You love a certain baseball bat or tennis racket, something like that. You may love your lawnmower, but either love it or use it, especially use it, when you were talking about the garage. Now, if you find it difficult to ask yourself those questions because you feel overwhelmed by the disorder in the space, switch from evaluating, do I keep it or not, to clumping like items, items from the same function. So you can get a better idea of how many items there are in every category, in every function. For example, you might find that you have 20 planters and you only like 5 of them, or you only use 5 of them regularly in a given year. That might motivate you to release some of those planters that are not in great shape, or some are better than others, and when you see them all lined up together, it's easier to get rid of them. So if you can't decide, should I keep it or not, clump items of the same function together to see if you've got duplicates and some of those things can go out. Or if when you clump them all together, it gives you a better perspective of what you have in that function that fits that function, and maybe will be motivated to get rid of some of the things because you know you just can't store them all in your space. As in every organizing project, I recommend that you work from the largest items to the smallest, sorting them by type, clumping like items, and then evaluating them. Some people aren't good sorters. I will mention that to you. Categories are too much for them. And if that is the case, it's really likely that you need to get some help in there. Because the way to set up a garage so that it is organized is you have to be able to categorize items. Otherwise, you're just going to throw things back in willy-nilly, and you won't be able to find what you need when you need it. I will tell you this. There are people, especially people with brains that are either really right-brained or the more creative types, the people who have ADD, that don't think in categories. And if that's the case, no need to berate yourself. It's just a brain thing. But it is a signal that you need to get a family member or a friend or an organizer in there to help you who is good at being able to clump like items into categories. Okay. Now, if you find that you're feeling overwhelmed while you're doing this systematic review of everything and clumping things, stop, take a deep breath, and try to figure out what shut you down. It is really normal to get overwhelmed in a space this big and to get overwhelmed multiple times. I mean, I've done enough garages to know. And, you know, usually it happens for one of the following reasons. Sometimes you just can't help it, but you gravitate to smaller items. You know, you got distracted and you're over there sorting screws and nuts and bolts. And, in fact, you have huge amounts of paint cans and sporting goods and things like that that would be better to deal with. But you've slipped over into the little stuff. That'll shut you down. Another thing that people typically do that shuts them down is they look at the whole project and think, I'll never get this done. And when you think that, you're actually setting your intention for what's going to happen. What you focus on, you attract. What you focus on, happen. I'll never get it done. Never get it done says I can't. And then something freezes and you're not able to move forward. You can control your thinking. And it's really powerful to work with your own thinking to change your thoughts to something more positive. Perhaps you're really put off by the nastiness of the space. It really gets under your skin. The dirtiness, the dustiness, and the grime. I have one client's garage she leaves cracked open for her cat. Every time I walk in there, I'm a little put off because there are leaves everywhere in there. And dry, dusty old leaves do not create good energy in a garage. Once you've determined what shut you down, make a course correction and continue. The tendency of people is to get shut down and run away. Get shut down and find an excuse to go to the store. Find an excuse to return into the house to get a drink and never come back. I'm urging you to take a deep breath. Think about what happened. You engage your brain, the cognitive part of your brain, which is not the emotional part. when you start thinking, it'll quiet those feelings of overwhelm and think, okay, what is it? This time I'm going to figure it out. For example, if you found yourself sorting small things like nuts and bolts instead of larger items like potting supplies or cleaning supplies, shift from the smaller items to larger items. Believe me, folks, I do this myself. I get distracted by something, and there I am, and then I can feel it in my gut. Oh, I'm not making much progress. And I go, oh, yeah. I stop, take a deep breath, and regroup. And then I move on back to bigger things. If you have thoughts about not being able to finish a project and you shut down, switch your thoughts to something like, this is hard, but I am getting it done. Or this is hard, but I'm determined to make progress today. If dust and dirt are really affecting your ability to work in the space, take a few moments and do a quick sweep of the garage floor to remove the worst of the dust and the little things that are on the floor that you probably trash, so that you can see a smooth floor surface. Believe me, it's a really powerful thing when the floor is cleaned off. Even when the garage is still a mess, if you have floor that's visible and you clear off some of that grime and dust and dirt, you will find there's a resurgence of energy and you are very likely to be able to go on. Now, if you do those kinds of things and you're still overwhelmed and shut down, that is also a sign you probably need to get some more help in there to help you make progress. Don't keep putting it off. There's a way to make it happen even if you have to get help. Now, once you've reviewed all the items, remove those that can be donated or trashed, and you've sorted the items that are left by function, you're ready to create permanent homes for the various functions that will be housed in the garage. At that point, if you haven't held on to too much stuff, you are ready to set up the garage. And normally when I do a spa plan, I don't talk about setup. I don't say that, you know, this is how you'd go about setting up in an organized fashion, not in much detail. But I'm going to talk to you about this for the garage because you just can't leave all that stuff in a big mess. So I'm going to give you some guidelines for creating homes for each function. And a home is a place where those things live, where you take them out from that space and you put them back in that space. And ideally, what you want to do is locate the functions close to where they will be used. For example, many people have a kitchen overflow area. In other words, they have extra paper towels or they have extra large pots and pans or large serving dishes that just don't fit in their kitchen cabinets and their pantry. And they will create a shelf or a shelving unit or a shelf in their garage to hold those items so they can just grab them when they need them. Those are very occasional use items. And it makes sense to locate that shelving unit or that shelf really close to the door into the house, which is as close to the kitchen as you can get. Yard supplies and sporting equipment could be located closer to the garage door because those things will typically be used outside of the garage. You're going to remove them from the garage to use them. The second thing I recommend when you're creating homes for each function is don't mix items of different functions. This is a principle you can apply to any part of your house, but it's really important in the garage if you have a prayer of finding anything in the garage. In other words, you don't want to mix light bulbs with fertilizer. Light bulb is a household supply. Fertilizer is a yard supply. Those are two very different functions. When you mix items of different functions, you create chaos and you make it impossible to remember and to figure out where you've likely put something. So don't mix items of different functions. People who struggle with organizing often make that mistake. And on one shelf, they'll have items of several different functions, and because they either don't clump or they haven't thought about how it really is a barrier if you mix items of the same function. You'll have more clarity if you keep functions separate. And that leads me to the next suggestion, which is create clear boundaries between functions. For example, use one shelf or set of shelves for all your household supplies, another shelf or set of shelves for all your yard supplies, depending on how much quantity you have. You might just need one shelf if you have just a few. You might need a whole shelving unit if you have a lot of household supplies, for example. It is best not to mix items of different functions on the same shelf, because even if they're side by side, one functions on one half of the shelf, another functions on the other half, if they're side by side like that, they're going to tend to get mixed together. If you're getting confused, believe me, I'm going to have plenty of time to answer questions, because I know this is complicated to hear over the phone. Some items will have to be located in one particular area because of their size. Whenever possible, locate other items associated with that function close by. In the lawnmowers and large lawn equipment, for example, often have to be located up in one corner of the garage, the right corner, let's say, for example. And if you've got a lot of yard equipment, it would be ideal to put a shelving unit for the smaller yard equipment right near where the larger yard equipment is stored. If space allows, locate the smaller items near the larger items. Now, it's sometimes impossible to keep all items of a particular function in the same area. Using the yard example again, it might be that you have room for the lawnmower and the lawnmower accessories and some of the large tools and things up in the right corner, but you can't put a shelving unit there because of other considerations. Then you might have to have two yard areas, one for the big stuff up in the right corner, a smaller area near the garage door, a shelving unit near the garage door. But again, within each area, keep just yard items in that area. Another example of that is if you have large sports equipment, where you might have some of the large sports equipment hung from the ceiling because that's the best way to store it, or up on hanging from storage shelving up high. You definitely don't want to put your basketballs and baseballs and equipment associated with sports that you do all the time hanging up on that platform on that shelf. So you would have a smaller area for sporting equipment perhaps near the door, another up high. Sometimes that's just what you've got to do. We're not about creating perfection here. We just want really distinguishable areas where you clump items of the same function, and sometimes you have to have two locations for one function because of space limitations. Now, as we've talked about bigger items, when you get to smaller items, what you want to do too is contain small items within one function in the same way to make those items visible and easy to find. For example, you have nuts and screws and bolts. You're going to want to keep all the small items that have to do with hardware together. And this is where containers come in and are a great thing to use. Always, always, always use clear plastic containers. Opaque ones, you can't see what's in it, you'll forget what's in it, and what's in there won't be used. It'll be dead as a doornail from an energy perspective. So some of the things that I've seen people use that work well are some of those rolling drawers that are see-through, relatively see-through, or easy enough to open. You can label the drawers as well to hold small items. Clear plastic bins, and a lot of times when you use clear plastic bins, if there are ones that are on a shelf that you get into a lot, you can leave the lids off for easy access. For example, small hand tools that you use, you'd leave the lid off. Sure, they get dusty and dirty, but everything is in a garage anyway. If it bothers you, you can put the lid on. The thing about putting a lid on a bin is it's a barrier to getting into it, and you might not even think to look in there, even if the bin is see-through. Open bins often work best, especially on a bench, a workbench, that kind of area. And you know, I'm sure many of you have seen those little boxes with all the little teeny drawers that come out to put screws and nuts and bolts in. Those are excellent because they are see-through at the front, and they're easy enough to open, and they're great for nuts and bolts and screws and picture hangers and things like that. So be sure to use containers when you get to the small stuff. And then when you have cleared, you have contained things, you have sorted and placed things by function into their regions where they belong in the garage, take a photo to document your success. When everything has a home and you've swept out the garage, that's the final act, is a final sweep out. Take a photo to serve as a reminder of the location of each function. If your garage happens to melt down again and you just can't remember what you did before, that will be a reminder. It'll help you to know where the functions belong and make getting organized much easier the next time. It'll also give you a good comparison from where you started to where you got. And ideally, those pictures will help remind you that you don't want to go there again, that you want to do something to maintain order. And to that end, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about maintaining order, just because this is such a big project that if you get this done, you don't want to lose it. You know, losing the order in your dresser drawers is a much smaller scale than losing order in a garage. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about maintaining order, and then I'm going to open up the floor for questions. When you're done clearing the clutter and reclaiming order, pat yourself on the back, first of all, for your hard work and for getting it done. Now, it's important at this point, if you are not the only one using the garage, accessing the garage, that you ask for help from all family members to maintain the new order. And I say ask for help because if you tell everybody, if you order everybody, they're going to likely resist you and resent it. And, you know, if there's anybody who has the least inclination to be passive aggressive, they could, you know, make it a mess just because they're annoyed that you ordered them to do it. I recommend that you show them what you've done, show them the locations, the locations of the basic functions, introduce them to that order. Proudly, because it's a big accomplishment, and ask for their help to maintain the order. seeing the newly cleared and organized space is going to convey a message that helping to maintain a clutter-free and organized garage is something that's important to you and essential to reducing stress in your family. If you make and take the time to do that, you're going to convey that message. If every family member views maintaining an orderly garage as one of their responsibilities, you're less likely to end up facing a garage nightmare again. And then, of course, make sure you're doing the same thing. Postpone the drop it and put it away later habit. Usually, if your garage is organized and set up in a way that works for you, taking things out and putting them away should not be a problem, so that when you're done with something, putting it away only takes seconds. Remind yourself of that when you have the inclination just to drop things, because that's how the meltdown begins. Now, garage order meltdown does happen over time because our lives aren't smooth, because there are times when you can't put things away because you've got a family crisis going on, other time constraints, other obligations. But it's really important that you restore order as soon as possible after one of those times when you can't do it in the moment. because the more chaotic the space becomes, the more likely the negative energy of the disorder will be experienced as overwhelming and make it even harder for you to tackle it. So the longer you put off cleaning up to maintain the order, the more likely you are that the meltdown is just going to cascade again into a nightmare. So do it as quickly as possible. After you've used something, put it away. Restore that order. Make that part of what you do all the time. If you make a commitment to maintain garage order, you'll reap the benefits of lower stress and greater feelings of control in all areas of your life. The energy of the garage, it's a big space, and its energy affects your life in a big way because everything is connected in the home. The garage energy is connected to the overall energy of the home. If you keep it clutter-free and organized, then its condition will anchor great quantities of positive energy in your home and in your life. Now, I'm going to open the floor up to questions. Anybody? I'm sure some of this was confusing because garages are, there's a lot to say, and trying to put it in words and not having visuals makes it more difficult. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. Well, let me start this way. Does anybody have a garage they're really proud of? Or something they do to maintain order in their garage that has worked really well for them? Such a quiet group. Does anybody have a garage?
Yeah.
Hello? Who am I hearing from?
Well, this is Anne. I'm overwhelmed. I've got one of those overwhelming negative garages, of course.
Uh-huh.
But I have a refrigerator in there I hardly ever use, and it's a big item, so I'm trying to get rid of that.
Great. And that's a great place to start. Really good place because it's so big.
I know. That's what I was thinking. It's like
yes.
But after the holidays, it's like I only use it 2 times a year, so.
Right. Good. Wonderful. That's a fabulous place to start.
As I'm listening, I'm kind of making a diagram of where I want things. Because I always have the car on one side, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I shift and drive the car in on the other side. You know, the placement of the car.
Uh-huh. Is it on the side closest to going into the house or
yes,
further away?
It is.
Uh-huh.
So going into the house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're thinking if you put it on the other side, then it's going to loosen up, make
well,
more
actually,
space.
Well, actually, it kind of goes in the middle.
Oh, it goes in the middle. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's a two-car garage that you park in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's not uncommon. I mean, you're single, right?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't another car going in there.
Right.
What I will say is that, you know, if you allow some space around the door, then you, for one thing, if you, as you read the articles this month, there's one about using the garage, you know, if you use the garage as the entrance you come in most often,
mm-hmm.
you know, the condition of the area around that door is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And making a little more space around there is going to make that feel even better. You know, if it's
mm-hmm.
not a car crammed right up against it.
Yeah.
Plus, the things on that side of the garage are usually things you use more often, you know, and people tend to use the things closest to their door. And that's having more space there for the things you use more often makes a lot of sense. So I think that's a good idea. Any other questions or... Anne, do you have any questions about anything else in the garage that has you sort of stuck or puzzled?
Well, I guess I want, you know, so many things by the door to make it convenient that it's, I have things to return, you know, so I have bags sitting around
uh-huh.
or fabric to go match or, you know, measure, I don't know, whatever, things to go run errands with. Then I have school stuff. And then I have a few laundry I like to hang out there, especially in the winter when I put it outside.
Right.
And it's just like everything just kind of around the door.
Okay. Well, tell me about the school stuff and what kind of school stuff you store there.
Well, I'm trying to keep my school bag out there because we do have bed bugs in our school. And I don't want them in the house. And so I've got a shelf that I just try to put my bag right there, and I just get out the papers to grade or whatever. So I don't bring my whole bag in there every night, you know, into my home.
I understand. Yeah, that one definitely needs to be close to the door.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm just trying to make a little diagram of how
And all those things sound, they all sound like things that legitimately should be there.
I know.
But they don't sound like huge items either, you know, in terms of the size.
I think the refrigerator is close there, too. So I think when that gets out,
yes,
that's going to make a plan.
Right. It'll free up you some space.
Mm-hmm.
And what you may find when you remove that refrigerator is that it's easier to think about everything else, too,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to free energy and it'll help your brain clear a bit about what really has to be there by the door.
Mm-hmm.
So don't use too much energy trying to figure out where things go until you move that refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to help your brain.
I mean, it really does affect, you know, I drive in it and that's how I enter my house. And so I leave that junk room and then I open the door and I drive into that junk room. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. And you leave
it really affects,
with,
like, you know, coming and going into this negative.
Sure.
You know, just close the door, open the door, there it is again. It didn't go away, you know. Like, oh.
Well, you will probably enjoy some of the articles this month when I talk about how to make a garage feel good. So keep your eyes open for that, because there are ways to lift the energy in a garage. It's always going to be a noisy space, but if it's organized and you can keep the floor clean and you can add some enhancements to the garage, and what I recommend, if you've got walls, even if you don't have walls that are completely finished, is that you hang posters, you can hang things from the ceiling that are, you know, flags or something to create visual interest in there, so there's something positive greeting you. That can make a difference. Or, you know, put a wreath on the door, paint the door a special color so that, you know, paint a red door, whatever, turquoise door, whatever you love. You know, little things you can do to add energy to that space that will counter the sort of utilitarian blah energy of tools and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly the clearing and getting it cleaner will help, and creating order. Those three things are huge in terms of, it's like you'll come in and go, look what a great garage I've created. You know, you'll feel proud of it. Right now it just says you need to do some work.
Oh, yeah, day after day after day.
Yeah, and you're going to work and you come home and there's work staring you in the face. And what's the downside of that from a feng shui perspective of parking in your garage? It's nice because of the temperature control and you're not out in the weather. But the garage is not the main entrance into your home. And the main entrance is the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And when people use a garage entrance, they neglect their front door, which is the most important mouth of chi, we call it, the mouth of energy coming into your home.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and then, what you might want to do is park in your driveway and go into the house first. You know, go in through the front door and just to activate that front door, and then maybe go out, you know, a while later and pull the car in or something. It's just going to be a different viewpoint. And sometimes if you come into your house from a different viewpoint, the way you view everything shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now it sounds very heavy to me.
It is. It's very. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is the universal challenge of a garage. It's part of the reason I wish we had one, but at this point I don't have to make a choice. Do I go in through the garage or do I go into the front door? I go into the front door. And
yeah, this is the first time I've ever entered through a garage, and I don't like it, but it's just the way it is. But anyway.
Well, there are other options if you need to take a break from it, you know. There are other ways to do it. Maybe it'll take a couple more minutes, but if you think about that time as, okay, I'm taking this time for self-care, for grounding myself, so I'm not so harried. Because as a school teacher, I know you come from harried into harried, and then you have papers to grade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot. Right?
Yeah, but it's going to get that. I'm very hopeful. And I have my little vision board. I have my little picture of what it's going to look like by by July. That's my goal.
Wonderful. So you set a deadline.
Yep.
Awesome.
It'll be too hot by July, so I think. You know.
You bet.
And I don't want to spend my summer doing it, so I'm trying to. You know.
Okay. And July is when you're off school, so you won't have that waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great. Good, good. Anybody else?
Well, I don't have a garage, but all that you said helped me anyway. I do have a back room, which is it works a bit like the garage is the dumping room, which I don't like it to be, but it always ends like that way. But well, it did make me think of how can I put some order there?
Yes. Yes. Well, good. Yeah, you can apply the principles that I've talked about, the same principles to that space in terms of the process, the way to go about doing it, pulling out big things that you want to store there first, pulling out trash, that kind of thing. All that applies to any big storage area.
And you made me think, I know you've always said it, but I have the tendency to start with small things all the time, and mainly with paper. So, but although I always listen to you, this time it was like it made a click. Like, yes, I need to look for big things. Even sometimes I notice what is big, I put it in a pile, but I leave it in the place. So if I leave it in the place, then there energy. I mean, you made me think how their energy continues there.
Yes. If you don't remove it, you don't get the full benefit of the energy shift.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I've been in rooms, and a garage is a room, a storage area is a room. I've been in spaces like that where my brain shuts down, where I get overwhelmed. And even me, because I know how to do it, but the brain just reacts. And I know then to go to what can I remove from the room. May not be permanently, but I got to get something out of here so I can get my brain going again.
Yeah.
So whenever you shut down, remove something big from the space so that you can start thinking again.
Mm-hmm. And also, two things. One is that I have not thought about that. For example, when I want to, I know something is going to be donated or it's going to be thrown away, I sometimes make I put it together, but it stays inside.
Yeah, it doesn't move, huh?
Sometimes I think I don't want to clutter other rooms, so that's why I don't move it out. But now you're making me think that is what is blocking me also.
Absolutely.
And another thing is what you said about not mixing categories, or I don't know how you said it. But
yes, that's exactly it. Don't mix categories.
Okay. I tend to do that. I haven't noticed that. I tend to do that. And I think you're going to laugh because, I mean, this, as you say, applies to everything. And it made me realize that I mix a lot of categories, even in paper. For example, taking notes. So then I have a piece of paper with different things that have nothing to do one with the other. So it's very, very, very difficult to get rid of that.
Right. If you mix taking notes from classes in with bills, in with,
that's it. Exactly.
That kind of thing. Yeah, it's the same thing no matter what the object is.
And then my brain just goes crazy.
Well, right, because you can't see clearly. And when you have them grouped by category, you can see a bigger, it takes a bigger space when they're grouped by categories, and you can see things more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They're visible to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't emphasize enough that when you identify trash or stuff to give away, getting it out within a day is recommended. I put my Goodwill items in my car the next day. I mean, or the next day, depending on whether it's a weekend or not. And so that they leave my house, because you don't benefit really from the energy shift till the things are gone and out of your space. A lot of people, and you're not alone, Bea, a lot of people, I have bags for Goodwill sitting in their hall. And it's like, this is easy. To the car now. And then you make it a point to drop it off quickly, because then you receive the benefit of of all those decisions that you made.
And you know, what I think is contradictory, is that sometimes I don't move the things out, or I mix categories, all those mistakes, I do them because I want to do things quicker. And the problem is, as I say, it's contradictory because it comes back on me. I mean, instead
You're right.
of doing it quicker, it's much slower and much harder, and I get more, I get very tired.
Well, yeah, and you don't want to take the time in the moment because you're trying to be efficient in some way, but you end up taking a lot of time later.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what you just did. And mm-hmm. if you take the second, 2 seconds, 3, 1 minute, whatever, to move things or to put like categories together, whatever the task is,
mm-hmm.
it's going to save you a lot of time in the long run.
Yeah.
So you're so right that you're creating what you're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else have any questions? We're right at the end of our time, and I just want to make sure if there's anybody else with a burning question that you get a chance to ask it. All right. Well, I wish you well with whatever clearing you do. I hope you're able to use some of what I said tonight to take it to heart. And, you know, one of the things that works really well for any organizing project is to watch yourself and watch your habits. And is it your habit to, you know, to drop something and say, I'll put it away later, or is it your habit to put it away now? Is it your habit to put something in the car now or just let it sit there because you'll get to it on the weekend, but you never do? Just watch yourself and how you create, how you are the one that helps create the cluttered conditions that exist. Because as soon as you observe yourself, you can then change the behavior and create a better habit. So I wish you well with whatever clearing you do, and I'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.